Would you rather have a grapefruit sized head or the head or a head the size of a watermelon? So
I think I'd go head of a watermelon because some watermelons are small, but all grapefruits are way too small.
No, no. It's got to be like the giant oval, not like a little cute circle, seedless.
Okay, which way does it go? Hamburger or hot dog on top of my shoulders?
Whoa. You brought in two additional foods. You can choose if it's laying horizontal or vertical.
Okay, I'll go watermelon because a small head is really strange.
But watermelon head, regular.
A bigger head, and I would go hot dog to where it's vertical so I could still wear a hat.
So you'd have a super tall head.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was thinking hot dogs lay horizontal. So I was confused about that.
Well, hamburgers are horizontal.
Yeah, but so are hot dogs. Like, they all lay flat.
But if you're folding a piece of paper, a paper is a rectangle. Are you going to fold it hot dog or are you going to fold it hamburger?
I have never heard that as a reference, and it's completely confusing me. Okay. They are both horizontal. Do you eat a hot dog like up and down?
Well, if you have a rectangle.
She's getting out the paper and a pencil, you guys.
I'm going to try and describe it better.
Okay.
If you've got a piece of paper that's rectangle and you fold it to where it's extra skinny now, mm-hmm. Now you're a hot dog because it's skinny like a hot dog.
Okay. So you're not talking about the orientation of the food when you eat it, which is what I was thinking.
Oh, right. No. Like a taco. Something.
I don't know. This is all
I can't
okay.
Stop talking about food. I'm hungry.
Welcome back, friends. This is the Struggle Well Project, the podcast dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember, you're already enough. I hope y'all are having a lovely fall day. I wanted to have a quick marketing meeting. Can't none of you get out of this. I rely on you guys to get the word out about the show, but I'm the ideas person. So never fear. Take heart, because I have been thinking. November 23rd is the National Day of Listening. This could not be better news for the marketing department. So all I'm asking you to do is to start every conversation this week with Happy Listening Day. Then that leads right into you telling them your favorite thing to listen to, which is this podcast. I know. The heart behind Listening Day is you're supposed to like interview a loved one or something and like listen to them, but that isn't really going to work for our purposes. So what I need you to do on this Listening Day is a whole lot of talking about this podcast. Not so much listening. Maybe next year we'll focus on the listening, but this year, Listening Day is all about talking. Do you hear me? Okay, let me know how that goes for you. Best of luck. Okay, so last Monday, my sister and I unpacked identity. We left more confused than we started, but we had a good time doing it. She is a new believer, so she talks about some feelings related to that. Go ahead and circle back and tune in if you haven't done that yet. This is episode 161, and I am talking to Sherry Lowe. We are talking about your money, your marriage, and how intimately connected those two things are. Before we get started, though, I just want to tell you at the top of the show, you heard a segment from the Struggling Sisters show where we sometimes talk a lot about food when my sister is hungry. So the Struggling Sisters show is just for those of you who love this podcast and want more. There's also a private Facebook group that tons of you are taking advantage of. We have so much fun in there. If you love everything you get for free, but would love to support the show and get a little bit more, head to patreon.com/strugglewellproject. I wanted to say a special thank you today to Gina Miller, Jen, no last name, Jen is very private, Jen Ugly, Jennifer Lawrence, and Jenny Zadnick. Thank you all so much. I really could not do this without you. And it's so much fun to get to know you. Okay, so my guest this week, like I said, Sherry Lowe, I asked her to come on the show because part of our identity for a lot of us is that we are married, and part of marriage is dealing with money. And believe it or not, money factors into all of our identities in very interesting ways. Her book, Your Money, Your Marriage, very enjoyable read. It's funny, it's convicting, and that's why I wanted to share her with you today. She has unusual perspectives on date night. She has unusual perspectives on couponing. She's going to talk to us about how to look at our calendar using the VND method and a whole lot more. So let's go ahead and jump right in. Hi, Sherry. How are you today?
I am doing great. It's so good to be with you.
Thank you. Okay, so tell us about you and about your family.
So I am Sherry. I'm married to Brian. We've been married for 19 years. We live on the south side of Indianapolis. I'm a Midwest sort of girl. And we have two daughters, Anna, who is 16 and just started her junior year in high school. And Zoe, who is 10 and is in the fifth grade.
Okay. So Midwest, I just think of like casseroles. Is that accurate?
You know, it's so funny. Almost everywhere else in the country, when you have like a get together and everyone brings a covered dish, what do you call it?
Like a casserole. No?
Right. Well, like the gathering.
Like, oh, a potluck.
Yes, right. In Indiana, we call it a pitch-in. It's like the only place in the United States, except for places where people from Indiana have moved,
yes,
where everybody calls it a potluck, except for
so
us.
So a pitch-in, yes. Like everyone's going to pitch in.
Everybody pitches in and brings something with them. So
a
random.
Pitch-in. I love it. And do you make it into one word or do you hyphenate it? Or is
hyphenated.
It...
Hyphenated.
Pitch-in.
Totally.
I love that. Okay. When we worked overseas in missions, we like to be super spiritual about it and call it a pot blessing just because we don't believe in luck. And it was totally joking because obviously we, you know, so we just like to.
I'm going to use that now too.
Act ridiculously high and mighty with our spirituality. Pot blessing. Anyway, but I like pitching.
Yes.
Sounds like you got to do a pitch-in and then go on a hayride.
Maybe. Definitely coming up in the fall, we will definitely hayride somewhere. So
I can't even wait. I love that. And by the time this comes out, it will be the fall. So
yes.
Time for a pitch-in and a hayride.
That's right. Let's do it.
All right. So you talk about simplifying your life and having budgets. And the simplifying the life sounds fun. The budget does not sound fun. The budget sounds like a curse word. But most people, I think, as I was thinking through this, I think most people, we feel like our lives are as simple as they can be, but that can't be true.
Well, you know, I think that if you're using the expression, we're already doing everything we can when it comes to money, or you're using the expression like, well, we can't quit anything, I would push back on that because I feel like there's always something that we can do to improve our finances. There's always something that we can do to simplify our calendar. And sometimes that involves hard choices like saying no, which is a pretty difficult thing for most of us to do as moms. But I think there's always a way to do both of those.
Do you like talk people through this on a regular basis? I mean, because I know you've written some books, but So when you push back with people, where do you find that they haven't considered?
Well, I think when it comes to money, a lot of the times that there are plenty of expenditures that we have that are not necessarily needs, but we, because of our culture and our society, we come to see them as needs. So something as simple as like paper plates, right? Paper plates make mom life so much easier. And right now we're back to school where I'm at and we are rocking the paper plate. I get it. Sometimes you don't want to do dishes, but if you really want to make the needle move in your budget, taking out paper goods like paper plates and paper bowls and disposable cups can really make a big difference on a weekly basis. So I would always say, you know, start with things like that, with things like cable subscriptions, whether that's Stitch Fix or Netflix or all the way down the line, there's room. And I think sometimes if I approach it the right way, not that I'm just bulldozing over people, most people respond to that and they're like, yeah, you know what? I could probably go without that for a season. I'm not saying give it up forever, but for a season, what is it that you could kind of pull out of your budget and you wouldn't miss it that much?
Okay. So tell us your story about the season you went through to get out of debt.
Yes. So back in April of 2008, my husband Brian and I launched into a journey that we thought would take us 15 years. We decided to pay off all of our consumer debt. So that included student loans, cars, medical debt, furniture we'd purchased on a payment plan, just a wide assortment.
Does that involve mortgage?
No, we still have not completed paying off our mortgage yet, but what we owe And we owe less than half of what we already have paid off in consumer debt.
So I just didn't know if consumer debt involves a mortgage. Okay.
Sometimes people say, you know, mortgage is good debt because you're building equity in the home.
Oh, okay.
It's a debatable term. We would rather it be gone as well. And so we actually were just having a discussion about that this morning. We're like, if extra money comes in, what are we going to use it for? We're going to kill the mortgage. So that's the plan for us. It will take us less than 7 years. Even if we took it to term, I think it would only take us 10. So we're close on that as well. But we set off on this journey. We thought it would take us 15 years, 7.5 if we really hustled. And yet we're so thankful that God is much better at math than we are, because 3 years and change, almost 4 years later, we sat at our kitchen table, made our final student loan payment. We had paid off $127,482.30.
Oh, my goodness.
If you've ever paid off debt, you know it down to the penny, the nickel, the dime. You know exactly how much you've paid. And in fact, we overpaid Sallie Mae by 33 cents and we tried to get it back and they didn't think we were very funny. So
that's so funny. Okay. So in that moment, what did you do? Cause I would want to like go out and eat sushi or something, but probably you figured out something to do that was really cheap.
No, we actually did go to Texas Roadhouse, but my husband made all kinds of sacrifices. We all did as a family over those 4 years. One of the sacrifices that he made was that he didn't eat at a restaurant for 2.5 years. Not an ice cream cone, not a glass of water, not a sugar packet, nothing, not a cup of coffee for 2.5 years. And so he actually did not eat with us. We went out to eat dinner and he sat at the table because we knew like his first time out, we wanted to do something really fun and he didn't want it to be just like Texas Roadhouse rolls, so, which are yummy, but you know, he wanted something very special. So we did do that. We took some photos, and in fact, our first book's entitled Slaying the Debt Dragon. And if you look at the cover of the book, that is the picture from that day. We could not recreate the looks on our faces, even if we tried to. So that's a moment frozen in time for us.
So what was that feeling? Relief or what?
You know, it was relief, but it was also just feeling all the emotions of 4 years at once. And so feeling every single time we chose to put money toward debt instead of going on vacation or instead of making another purchase. It was every hour of extra, you know, work that Brian put in and that I put in. It was every hour that we spent with our kids at home playing in the sprinkler instead of being at the water park. It was all of those moments kind of smashed down and condensed into one. And so it was excitement and joy, but it was relief and just kind of wonder, because we really felt like God had done a miracle in our finances. It was a 4-year miracle, but it was a miracle.
I want to say a special thank you to Perfect Keto for being one of the sponsors of today's episode. Ladies, the ketogenic diet is all the rage. I know, though, from watching people do it, it can also be all the confusion. There's a lot that goes into that. If you want to do the keto diet and you do not want to make your brain hurt, then Perfect Keto is for you. They have keto bases and MCT oil powder. They also have something called Perfect Keto Perform, which is the only sports drink for the ketogenic diet. Their website is also full of a lot of great resources if you want to learn more about the science behind ketosis. So for 20% off all your Perfect Keto products, go to perfectketo.com/SWP and use code SWP at checkout. Again, go to perfectketo.com/SWP and use code SWP at checkout for 20% off all of Perfect Keto's products. How is your family different from all of that? What did your kids think?
Yeah. So Anna, when we went through the process, went from being in kindergarten to fourth grade, and Zoe went from being an infant to being able to read. So she had turned 4 by the time that we were done. We always said we measured how long it took us by how tall she was. But they both have different approaches to money. They're both frugal. They both look for coupons. They're both real human beings too. They're still going to ask for stuff at the store. They're not like some sort of wunderkind when it comes to money or anything like that. But it is unique. You know, Anna lived through the life change. So she knew when we used to go out to eat all the time and we used to buy a lot of extras and then we went through not doing that. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how that kind of has imprinted on her soul. She is currently in pursuit of every scholarship she can find for college. Okay. Because she knows that it's important to go through school without debt, and that's the goal. And in fact, just mentioned that she was talking to her physics teacher last week, and he said he didn't know people even carried debt like that. And she said, you know, I'm going to pretty much grow up in a reality where I don't ever go through that either. So I think they have a good grip on personal finance, and we talk about money a lot in our house that maybe some kids don't necessarily hear on a regular basis.
I tend to be really black or white, and I either am like, whatever, throw caution to the wind, or no one's buying anything ever again. How do you know that you are, obviously you have a healthy relationship with money in that you don't have consumer debt, but can it switch over to the other side where it's kind of like an obsession and you're kind of focused on that? And I'm not saying this is you. I'm just saying it might be me if I did this. So I choose to just spend. No, just kidding. I don't. We're not spending stuff right now either. But how do you keep a healthy relationship? And perspective.
Right. So the goal is that to view money as a tool. So money is neutral. It's not that it's good or bad, because I think sometimes people misquote scripture and they're like, money is the root of all evil. Well, no, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Money is a tool, just like a hammer is a tool. And so you can use a hammer to build a house, or you can throw it through a plate glass window and destroy the window, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all about how you're going to use it. And I think, especially from a faith-based perspective, we need to be very intentional about not letting money rule over us. Yeah. And that can come in two forms. That can come in spending, or that can come in hoarding. Hoarding when we're worried that we're never going to have enough. Spending when we're just giving in to any impulse and not paying attention or managing what God has given us. And so there's a tension in there, and there's a balance, and there are going to be days where you rock it, and there are going to be days where you blow it. And it's all about how you respond. Yeah. You know, when you rock it, you don't worship it, or you don't worship your own awesomeness because you've managed it well. And when you blow it, you don't live there forever in guilt and shame. You have to continually turn to God first and say, hey, help me in this process. Help me manage this. And then if you're married, you need to talk to your spouse and say, help me. And sometimes that's really scary, because that involves asking for forgiveness. And we tend to view all of our own purchases as necessary and all of our spouse's purchases as maybe we needed it, but probably not. And so we have to shift that lens. It's really important.
Okay, so that brings me to your new book called Your Money, Your Marriage. And I just love the cover. Is a man and a wife stand on top of a pile of money.
Who wouldn't want that, right?
Who wouldn't? Listen, I gotta say, this book is funny. It is so engaging. You guys did so well. So you and Brian both write it, so you've got both perspectives, right, which will get the buy-in from both spouses, hopefully.
Yeah.
And it connects money and intimacy. So just before we get into the content of the book, what was it like to write a book with your husband?
Right. So the goal was, let's write a book together, and by the end of it, let's still be married. That was the number one goal. It wasn't like, let's write this book and let's let it land on a bestseller list on Amazon. It was, we don't want to hate each other by the end of this. So we wrote the majority of it in Google Docs, which was very fun because it's free and live and interactive. And so we literally would like type over each other's words, type inappropriate comments back and forth to each other. erase things and mess with each other. It really was a lot of fun. And I didn't know if it would be or not. Yeah. Editing was a little more challenging because it revolved that refining process and a little more give and take and a little more critique from each other. Okay. So the writing was super fun. The editing was a little more challenging, but we still survived it. Now we're on the other side and we're getting ready to share the message with so many people. And that's been a blast too.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. So you talk in the book about passionate patients and about financial foreplay. I've got to know more about these. I'm about halfway through the book, but I didn't get all the way through yet.
No, you're fine. So Financial Foreplay was actually the original title of the book, and they decided that maybe we should tone it down a little bit so that people would not be embarrassed if they were buying it at church or reading it on the bus.
Because I love that as a title, though.
Right? The key concept and the key idea is that when we manage money well together, the skills that we obtain transfer to other areas of our marriage. And so I'm going to just kind of reader's theater it out for the listener so they can understand what we mean by the words financial foreplay. To us, financial foreplay simply means husbands and wives investing in smart financial habits and relational capital to clear the way for spicy sex and meaningful togetherness. It's taking care of bank business so you can get down to business in bed. Leaving cash conflicts far behind. It's a complete trust, vulnerability, and connection when it comes to both our bodies and our budgets. And so that's kind of what we mean by that expression. And I think if you are like us, you know that there's a connection between sex and money in your marriage. You know that the last time you had a fight with your spouse about money, it did not end in a hot, sweaty night of being totally satisfied. Like it just doesn't work that way. And Brian is actually an attorney. He's a divorce lawyer, for the lack of a better term. Oh, wow. And so he sees people in his office on a regular basis, and the number, you know, one in two reasons why people get divorced are all wrapped up inside of sex and money. And so we began to say to each other, what if we could stop people before they made it to the door of an attorney? What if we could help coach them through some of these issues? And we identified 8 key areas where most couples struggle when it comes to sex and money. And what if we could really coach them and encourage them and give them practical tools to prevent them from ending up growing apart, which is a phrase we actually tackle in the book, to prevent them from ending up divorced.
Yeah. Wow. There is such a connection. I knew that there was, but I think that as you talk about it more, I think, oh my gosh, yeah, this is really brilliant. Love it.
The research is there too. And we did research. It's not just anecdotal. We did research on how couples handle money. And so as you dig through the book, you'll begin to uncover that as well. And just helping people understand that, what is it that people are routinely Googling when it comes to marriage? And that might surprise you a little bit. And what is it that they are fighting about? And how does fighting about money affect your odds of getting divorced? And in fact, we found that if you fight about money once or more per week, that your odds for divorce go up astronomically. So, So, you know, rather than making couples feel like, oh my word, we're the only ones, because guess what? If you do fight about money, guess that what that makes you? It makes you normal. Lots of us do that, you know. Mm-hmm. So don't feed yourself the lie that no one ever disagrees. And in fact, conflict in marriage is a good thing. It helps us grow, and it helps us become the people God has planned for us to be. But we want to provide strategies about how to move through conflict healthfully, especially when it comes to money.
I think also, if you aren't having any conflict, you're not having any conversations about money, you're definitely not ending up where you want to be.
No,
because you don't even know where you want to be.
Right. And you don't know where you are either. And so you need to be able to evaluate that together. Dream big, which really was the onus for us paying off debt, was Brian asked me the question, what would we do if we weren't throwing so much money at interest every single month? Where would we go? How would our family look different? How would the kingdom of God be changed? Because we're not spending money that we don't have to spend. spend on a regular basis. And that captivated my heart. And that's a big part of the strategy that we lay out in the book, too.
So neat. I love it. I can't wait to finish it. Okay, so talk to me about date nights are important for your marriage and all that stuff. But when I like sit down to think about a date night, you've got to get a babysitter, then you got to go out to eat. And I just feel like they're so expensive. And then the stakes are really high. And then I'm disappointed because it wasn't as magical right. and Cinderella-like as I thought. So talk to me about how you did date nights when you were like not spending.
Yeah. So we talked about the fact that when we were first married, especially, and when we had a young family, that, you know, from the pulpit in small groups, at conferences, that was like the number one message that was preached, right? You got to have a date night, regular date night, weekly date night, monthly date night. So we tried it because we're like, well, if everybody keeps saying we have to do this, well, then we need to do it. And we were the exact same way as you. You know, we felt like before we even got out the door, we're talking about $40 for a sitter, you know, or $30, depending if you're blessed enough to have family or, you know, a neighbor kid, maybe it's a little less than that. But by and large, it's pretty pricey. And then there's dinner, or we're going to a movie where we don't even talk to each other. We sit in the dark. And really, in the end, your marriage problems, your communication problems will not be solved by very expensive cheesecake. It may be delicious. It may be wonderful in the moment, but long term, your hips and your relationship probably won't thank you for it, you know, or your budget for that matter. And so we decided to really rethink what it looked like to have a date night. And for us, while we were paying off debt, that meant regular bedtime for our girls. And so every night they went to bed on time. And when they did, then that provided an hour or two for us to have kind of like a date night almost every night. And rather than zone out and just turn on the TV and let it roll and fall asleep, we were intentional with that time. Sometimes we talked about money. Sometimes we played Face 10. Sometimes we, you know, we did watch a movie or something on Netflix, depending on our mood and what was going on in our lives. But we didn't want that time to just slip by and pass us by without us using it well. So you don't have to have the Hollywood expectations. No one's hair ever looks that perfect, you know? And a rose is really sweet when someone hands it to you, but it's not the notions of romance that we've come to accept as a culture that are important. It's about truly connecting with our spouse.
It's good. Yeah. And I think also it's disappointing because I don't feel any more connected to my husband after a date night than in a right. I mean, and we both work from home, so we see each other's faces a lot. So then a date night, I'm like, why do we just do all that? Why do we spend all that money? So, yeah, I love it. I love the idea of a date night every
and
night.
It's all right to go out every once in a while. And we even talk in the book about budgeting for romance and that it is important to have a budget for romance. But sometimes it's better to save those dollars and do a weekend getaway than it is to go on a date night. Or sometimes it's better to buy gifts for each other that are encouraging instead of using that money on a date night. So just thinking outside of the box instead of following into the, you know, normative cultural patterns.
Yes. Okay. I think that's good. Listen, vitamins are not that interesting. They're not that exciting. And who even cares? But you know what? That will all change if you start using Care of. I know because it did for me. You get to take a fun online quiz. It asks you about your diet, your health goals, your lifestyle choices. It takes about 5 minutes. And then they tell you what your body needs based on what you've been up to. Then the vitamins get delivered right to your door in easy to remember daily packs that have your name on them and like a piece of trivia or a fun fact or a challenge for the day. I legit could not wait to wake up and see what my vitamins were going to tell me. Can you even believe that's a sentence? Your monthly subscription box can be modified at any time. My favorite part about Care of is that a portion of every sale goes to a foundation that provides expectant moms with prenatal vitamins. That is so important. I love that they do that. So for 20% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter SWP at checkout. Again, go to takecareof.com and enter promo code SWP for 20% off your first month of personalized Care of vitamins. Did you know that the FDA doesn't require brands to disclose what's in their tampons and pads? Because of that, most of them don't. But Lola is different. They offer complete transparency about everything that is in all of their feminine care products. There's nothing synthetic. There's no harsh chemicals or fragrances or dyes. What I personally love about Lola is that it makes my month a little bit easier. I'm really good at scheduling most things, but when it comes to my time of the month, I don't ever know when it's happening, and I am very usually caught completely off guard. That is why I spend my own cash money on Lola. I get to choose which products I want, how many boxes, and how frequently they need to come. Lola remembers for me, and I'm never left without my supplies. And what I love about Lola is that for every purchase, they donate feminine care products to homeless shelters across the United States. I am a big fan of Lola. So for 40% off of all your subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter SWP when you subscribe. Again, 40% off at mylola.com using promo code SWP. Tell me about the VND approach to your social calendar.
Yeah, so this is an idea that Brian talks about in the book. He's definitely a visual learner, so you're going to see a little Venn diagram in there.
I love a Venn diagram.
Yes, who doesn't? So if you flip through, I'm sure you'll find it. But the V in the first circle stands for values. And okay. So as a couple, you need to identify what your shared values are. For us, that means that we're growing closer to God. That's a shared value. We're staying out of debt. That's a shared value that we both have, that we're raising our kids well, and we want to create experiences for them that are memorable, but also that we have a relationship with them and well into adulthood. That's a shared value. The N in this sort of little diagram stands for needs. And so those things that we all learned in college psychology, you know, we all need air, water, food, love, shelter. Those are our needs. And then the D stands for dreams. Brian and I have dreams of traveling, of retiring early so we can actually enjoy time with one another, of sending our kids to college without debt. So we're right now saving dramatically as we approach that. And so when we're looking at our calendars, and in fact, we encourage couples to pull out the physical paper calendar or the digital calendar that you have, go through and mark each and every single activity on there with either a V, an N, or a D to identify whether or not what you're doing contributes to your values, your needs, or your dreams. And if it doesn't measure up to one of those three things, or hopefully more than one of those three things, then you need to take a break. So if your kid is taking, you know, kung fu knitting right now, and that really doesn't contribute financially to your values, your dreams, or your needs, even if they love it, let's take a break, a month break, a semester break, whatever. And then you can reevaluate and say, well, no, maybe it did fall into that values, needs, and dreams category. We'll add it back in. But that'll take some pressure off, give you some margin when it comes to both time and money when those things are associated with fees and all the other kinds of things that go along with the activities that we have in our lives.
Okay, so you're talking like kids' activities.
It could be adult activities.
Just anything. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, look, I love the PTO at our school. And if they ask for a bag of fruit or they want a flat of water, I'm the first person to drop it off at the door. But I've decided that at this season of my life, I am not going to be the PTO president because it doesn't match up with the calling that we have on our lives or our values, needs, and dreams right now. And so that means saying no to meetings and the time that those meetings take. And that's it. It means saying no to, you know, anything outside of those contributions that I might make. So I'm not going to lead the book fair because I've drawn on the calendar, you know what? Nope, not right now. This doesn't fit. Maybe someday that might change and my heart might be called toward it. And I'm not picking on PTO. There's lots of awesome PTO members.
Oh, totally.
I am so grateful for our PTO. They do amazing, amazing things. And I'm going to support their work, but I'm going to do that in a different way than necessarily being on another committee.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. That's really good. Okay, so What would you say for someone who it just feels so overwhelmed with debt, or every time they try, they don't get very far and they give up? It just can be a cycle that you feel like you can't get out of. What would you say is the first step for people? I mean, obviously get your book, which is really well written and entertaining and helpful, but.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. So take a deep breath and realize it's going to be okay. I think because money is so deeply personal and rooted in how we were brought up and rooted in our experiences and can feel claustrophobic and overwhelming and scary, that we just decide to kind of cyclically remain where we're at, like just saying it's never going to get any better or panicking or worrying. Just deep breath. And what I would tell you is that God cares more about you than the mistakes you have made. Mm. And your marriage is not over and your finances are not beyond repair. And so before you begin any spreadsheets or budgets or any of that, let's just bring it back into square one, calm down, take a deep breath. And then we can begin to evaluate the situation, because I think so much of it is tied up in our emotions that it doesn't allow us to get a clear picture of what's really going on because we're just in continual freak out mode.
Yeah. I mean, it's so crazy because money, I mean, I think of it as it's just numbers, but then you're right. Like there's so much psychology behind money that it's crazy.
Well, and then I think that debt is spiritual. I mean, throughout the Bible, we read about Jesus paying our debts. We sing all kinds of songs that talk about being set free from debts. Mm. And it is definitely a spiritual battle. And I don't think that we should necessarily dismiss that and like put God in this filing cabinet and money in this filing cabinet and our marriage in this filing cabinet. It's all integrated and it is all wound around each other. And I meet a lot of Christians who feel guilty because they're not giving enough or they're not giving anything at all. And then they feel overwhelmed that maybe God's not going to bless them or he doesn't love them as much because they've messed up with money. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to address those spiritual issues first before you dive in. Mm-hmm. So take a beat. Realize that maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. That could be from God. That could be from your spouse. And then it's time to make a plan. And we definitely have all kinds of practical tools sprinkled throughout the book. One chapter in particular focuses on moving from being scattered to organized in your finances. And so that was one of those key areas that we identified that couples struggle with. How do we organize all of this? There's so many details. And so we want to coach you through those practical things. But before you even begin, you need a fresh start. You need a blank slate before you can go for it.
It's good. I can't really get overwhelmed. It was one of the things that trips me and my husband up is that he, even like what to call things, like what to call categories and how specific to get about them. And he loves Excel and it's not pretty and I don't understand it and I don't like it. And he's one of those ones who can like make special codes and then magical things happen in Excel. And I just don't. So it needs to be like a pretty interface for me. But then he's like, but these don't make sense or this isn't. So anyway, some of it's just like the getting to the budget. We don't even get to the budget because we can't figure out. We can't agree.
You need to learn how to speak the same language, right? Yes. So yeah, that's the key. And realizing like just because you like pretty things and he likes Excel formulas, that could be a gift. Really, I know it seems like I know it seems like your differences are a disadvantage, but really, I feel like every couple has somebody usually defaults to, you know, oh, well, somebody's the spender and the saver. I think it's more complicated than that because I think everybody can trend toward both depending on what you're spending on and what you're saving. But I do feel like there is somebody who focuses more on short-term operations, things like buying the groceries, making sure the kids have a yearbook, you know, some of those basic day-to-day, paying the light bill, those sorts of functions. And then there's usually somebody who is more focused on long-term, and that's things like buying a car, houses, retirement, college, you know, some of those bigger things. And if we didn't have both people in the couple, then what we would either not know and overspend on short term and would never celebrate Christmas or go on vacation, or we would have nothing in the future when we retire and we would not be able to live together well. So it's a gift that you're different, and it's all about finding a place in the middle to meet and talking to each other in a language where we both understand each other and why it's important to the other person too.
Yeah, it's good. There's a lot there.
So if you've ever been on an Instagram Live with me, you know I am always drinking some kind of flavored water. I'm excited to share with you, though, my experience with Hint Water. The CEO of Hint, Kara, she started the company to help herself get away from diet soda and drink more water. She wanted to stay away from all the sugar and the fake sweeteners, but she also wanted to stay away from carbonation so she could actually drink 8 full glasses a day. Well, Kara's product has helped millions of Americans get away from their addiction to diet soda and help them fall in love with water. Hint is perfect for everyone, but especially those who don't like the taste of plain water but value their health. People who want to give up soda but still want a treat. Hint sent a ton of water to my house. I think I got almost all the flavors. My very favorite were the watermelon and the pineapple, but I have to say the honeydew and the crisp apple sound very interesting. I'm gonna have to try those. And usually I love sharing with my family, but when they started drinking my water, I got a little testy. I don't usually withhold water from my family members, but this water is so good, I didn't want to share it. So to receive 36 bottles for $36, visit drinkhint.com/SWP and use promo code SWP. Again, that's 36 bottles for $36 by visiting drinkhint.com/SWP and using promo code SWP.
So what I like about this book is that at the end, I see there's a bunch of discussion questions. You could even do it with like a small group, probably.
Yes. And so we've led the same small group for over a decade, and we were very intentional about writing those questions. I don't know how much you know, but sometimes authors don't write their own questions.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Yeah. Sometimes that's the editor that does that. And so we really wanted our hands in that. We wanted questions that would allow groups and couples to tell the best stories. So while there are a lot of stories of our own in the book, we wanted to prompt and ask things like, what's the weirdest wedding you've ever been to before? Or what's the grossest thing you've ever stepped in before? And we actually took our own small group through the book, and it was so much fun to these people that we've known forever to hear some of the stories that they had to share. And those stories then are going to open up the door to intimacy so that you can share more nitty-gritty details and be able to dive into community with one another. Not overshare, don't worry, but you know, definitely have a useful discussion after each chapter. And then there are also activities that we call financial or fostering financial foreplay. And those activities are designed just for husbands and wives. They involve things like conducting a 20-second hug, which just try it. It feels awkward, but it is awesome. So, or there are things like literally writing down your financial goals on a big page and standing on that together, because so many people struggle with getting on the same page. And we use that metaphorically, but it's a good thing to outline what it is that we're doing together and then stand on that together, own that, and pray over those dreams that God has put in your heart.
That's great. Okay. And so then your website, what does that have on as resources?
So Your Money, Your Marriage is this website that coordinates with the book. It has an online guide. You're going to find budget forms. You're going to find money chat conversation starters. So you can have a conversation about money outside of conflict and be able to have a great dialogue with your spouse. Our thoughts on giving, saving, and spending, what kind of percentages you should use, all kinds of practical tools. And then you can also find me at queenoffree.net, where you're going to find meal plans. I know a lot of moms are always looking for meal ideas. I have 10 Aldi $50 meal plans that give you a grocery list. You can walk into the store, particularly at Aldi, but I've had other people use it at Kroger and other grocery stores too. Go in, buy the items you need on your list, produce at least 6 dinners for the week. So lots of smart strategies on saving money over there too on a regular basis.
I love it. I love Aldi.
I do too. I'm a super fan.
I really didn't like it at first because it was too quiet and it's not that cute.
It is a little basic, but that's why you save money.
It's
because
true.
They don't spend money on displays. So
is it really cheaper than Walmart, do you think?
Yes, in a couple of ways. Now, I always find that there's usually an outlier item when you're at the store that maybe you might be able to get cheaper somewhere else. And so, yes, if you're going to buy like aluminum foil and like a 40,000 foot roll or whatever somewhere, yes, you might be able to get it cheaper somewhere than you can at Aldi. But by and large, everything that I buy there except for a few key things. Like I make my own laundry detergent, and so I can't buy the components at Aldi. Or like sun-dried tomatoes. I can't find, you know, sun-dried tomatoes at Aldi. So there are a few things on my list that I might pop in somewhere else. The problem with like big box retailers like Walmart is once you're in there, you're hooked. And Walmart, if you notice the next time you're in there, has way more junk food than any other grocery store. Go down like the snack aisle and it is like 40 feet high up in the air. And so you're tempted by more choices. And behavioral economics talks about the idea of choice exhaustion. Yes. And so every time you're in the store, from the minute you step in, you begin to say no to yourself. No, Emily, you can't have that. No, Emily, you can't have that. And the more times you have to say no, the more tired you get. And that's why the impulse buys are in the checkout, because by then you're so tired, you're like, go ahead.
Those dirty dogs.
I know, it's all brilliant strategy, but why I love Aldi is fewer products.
Yes, I love it. You're in and out so quick. Right.
So fewer times to say no, less likely that you're going to be exhausted. And there are other things you can do. Making a list helps prevent choice exhaustion, even if you write it down in the car before you walk in, because then you're saying yes, 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 all the way down the list.
You feel like a winner.
Instead of no, 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 no. So there are some great strategies. That's the kind of stuff I dip my toes into over on Queen of Free. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, head over there.
So interested. I love it. Okay. Do you ever talk about how to like have a vacation on the cheap?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you search in the little search bar on Queen of Free, you're going to find all kinds of vacation ideas, staycation ideas, strategies that I use. I love Hotwire. I'm a big fan of using Hotwire to book hotels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but a lot of the times you can't tell where it is you're going to land or stay when you use it. And so there's a partner site called betterbidding.com where consumers use it as a forum to report back where they've booked after they're done. It narrows it pretty close to where it is you're going to land. And then you can go over onto the actual hotel site and make sure that like there are no bed bugs or like weird things in the background.
Yes.
You know, like, so strategies like that, definitely you're going to find in there. Things that I do, like we pack a Brita slimline pitcher whenever we travel, like a tiny one to be able to filter our own water instead of buying like expensive bottled water or drinking sketchy tap, you know? So like just some simple ideas that you can use like that, that I think can make a really big difference when you travel.
Okay. That's really good. Cause I want to do more travel. We just think, oh, we don't have the money to do it. And then we just don't, but my heart just hurts cause I want to go do something fun. You know what I mean? Okay. So I have one more question that I didn't, this popped up in my head, but is coupon, are they worth it? Cause I end up buying 97 tubes of toothpaste that I just don't really need just because I had a coupon.
So I always say I advocate not non-extreme couponing. So I'm not an extreme couponer. I'm a practical couponer. And I have some different rules that I use when I'm engaging coupons. For instance, I'm never going to buy something for the very first time just because I have a coupon. And that's because coupons are marketing tools. The company doesn't love you. They don't want your family to save money. They want to hook you on a product. And so it's a marketing tool to get you to try it for the first time. And so I don't hold fast to it, you know, all the time. But by and large, especially if I've never bought the brand before, I'm not going to use a coupon on an item that I've never bought before. I am always going to search for coupons when I'm shopping online before I check out. I'm going to use a cashback site like Ebates or Swagbucks to be able to get money back. While I'm in the store, if there's a digital app somewhere like Cartwheel at Target or Meijer's M-Perks program or even Walmart's Savings Catcher. I'm always going to be sure that whatever tool the store has for use that I'm going to use it so that I can save some more money, because I do think it adds up. I do think it makes a difference on a regular basis. But if you're clearing the shelves or you're spending 50 to 60 hours a week cutting coupons, you should go get a job because it will pay more. You'll have less toilet paper and candy bars. But you'll have money, which is awesome. So, you know, it's all about how you approach it. I think it's a useful strategy. I don't think you should just poo-poo on it and throw it out the window. And there are going to be times, again, where you drop the ball and times where you show everybody your receipt because you're just a rock star. And it's about balance in the midst of that.
Okay. Yeah. Because I went crazy, you know, toilet paper lady for a while. And then I'm like, that's it. I don't even look at the coupons anymore.
Yeah, so. We all kind of go through that ebb and flow, I think, sometimes depending on where we're at. And I think it's just good, like, embracing, like, A, are we buying what we need? B, are we staying to our budget? Because your budget is way more important than the coupons. Yeah. And then, you know, C, like, is it costing me my sanity in the midst of that? And for a season, if it's costing you your potty training a kid, like, make like Elsa and let it go.
Good. I love it. All right. Okay. So I wanted to ask you a couple questions. You don't know what these are. I want you to answer as quickly as you can.
Right.
It's a lightning round just for no apparent reason. Okay. So number one, what is something that you tried really hard to like, but you just couldn't?
LaCroix.
I'm drinking one right now.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's all right. It's kind of a love or hate it thing.
It's so popular. Mm-hmm. Same way with Clearly Canadian when I was in high school. Everybody drank cherry Clearly Canadian. Man, I choked that stuff down every day at lunch, but I did not enjoy it.
Okay. Well, good, because you're saving a bunch of money because
That's
a ridiculous amount of money that I spend on water. But it's so good and I feel fancy.
That's all right. It's good.
Okay. So what makes you angrier than it really should?
Oh, goodness. A few things. Probably more things than I have time to dive into because this is not a therapy session. People who do not drive well. I think I'm more attuned to it because my daughter is beginning to drive. And so I'm like, hey, get your head out of your phone. You know, like my daughter doesn't do that. But other people on the road make me nervous because I'm like, my kid's out here. Pull it together. That's driving, definitely. I definitely have a bit of a mouth on me occasionally when somebody makes a bad turn or doesn't turn on the turn signal or something like that. Anybody who picks on my kids, I'm just going to throw down. I don't care if you're a 5-year-old little boy. No, I'm not going to be mean to children, but it does irk me more than it probably should. And it doesn't happen very often. But when it does, that mama bear just like, so that's probably my top two.
Okay. For me, it's when my kids won't put things in the dishwasher.
Oh,
but they get it like right on top of the dishwasher.
Right. That's laundry at my house. I moved the basket closer to their rooms intentionally. Like, hey, it's right outside your door. Like it's 3-4 steps for you and a toss, you know, like, but I still find it on your floor and they're big enough, you know, 10 and 16, like, you know, you're big enough. Take care of it.
Oh man. Okay. If an amusement park was designed just to make you happy, what would it have?
Good snacks.
Like what's the best snack?
Anything with marshmallows.
Okay.
Like, I'm a marshmallow addict. It's a problem. It's a gateway drug. So I don't buy them very often because then it leads down a slippery slope. But
have you had the maple ones?
Yes, I have. Those are really okay. I like, I'm a fan of the pumpkin spice ones in the fall.
Yeah.
That's very basic girl. But, you know, pumpkin spice in the fall is a very good thing. So, yeah. Good food would be good. And then I like a good roller coaster. I'm not, you know, I'm getting older. I'm feeling that a little bit each time. And there are occasional times where I'm like, good Lord, lady, what are you doing? You have children. You could die on this rickety thing. So occasionally that kicks in. But I do. I'm a thrill seeker, too. So. Okay.
I loved them before, but now I can't even sit on a swing without feeling like I'm going to throw up.
Really?
Yeah. That happened when I turned 30. Really neat. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Okay, so should toilet paper hang over or under?
Under. And this is something we actually get into in the book.
Like, really?
Back and forth. Yeah. So for me, it's totally under. For Brian, it's totally over. For me, the theory is that both on paper towel and toilet paper, if it's under, you tear sooner, so you use less. But if it's over, you just kind of like with a cat, you just keep pawing at it. It keeps coming off the roll. So for me, it's all wrapped up in saving money somehow. But
okay,
I can tell by your face that you're an over.
I'm an over. Gosh, I didn't even think under. I was sure that it was just put on wrong when people do under. Okay. Well, all right. I'll have to consider that.
Okay. It's all right. We're all on a continuum. It's fine.
We can still be friends. Okay. So what is something that you can't stop talking about right now?
Yeah. So there's a few things. I'm always going to help people save money. And so I love the website Swagbucks, which is like an internet search engine that rewards you just for doing your routine searches.
What?
And so
okay.
Like right before I signed on, I got a $25 Amazon gift card from them just about every month. I get at least that much. So that's pretty easy cheesy. And okay, you set it up and you let it go. And the same way ShopKicks, when you're in the store, is an app that you can open up on your phone and it gives you reward points basically for just walking in. But you can do other things like scan items and that too. It's just nice. It's kind of an easy extra. I don't have to spend any money to get money back sort of. Okay. Methods. Both of those I'm always going to talk about until the cows come home. And then I'm really into a skincare line. Don't worry, it's bought in the store. I'm not selling it. I'm not going to chase you down with a Facebook friend request. It's called Formula 1006. It's super affordable. I bought it for the first time at Meijer, which is like a Midwest sort of big box retailer, but they sell it at Ulta too. And Ulta is actually the best place to get it at the cheapest price. It's super affordable. Okay. And I love all the products and it's been around forever. So it's the word formula, the number 10.0.06. So
Why though? I wonder why it's called that.
I think it has to do with like originally it was been around since like the 30s or something like that. I think that was the formula for like the actual astringent that's part of the face care line. But you can try like little bits and pieces of it without having, they sell like a sample pack for $10. So you can try four different products for $10 and be able to decide whether or not you like it. And I haven't bought anything in the line that I didn't like. So, and I'm super picky. So.
I love it. Awesome. Well, Sherry, thank you so much. This has been really informative and helpful.
Well, I'm just hoping that anybody who needs an extra dose of encouragement will pick up the book. Again, it's funny. It's designed to be humorous, not to be boring, snory personal finance. So don't let that topic of money scare you. We want you to manage money well and grow closer to each other.
Yeah, it's definitely an encouraging read, which I would not say most finance books are.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily.
That was so fun. Sherry gave me a lot to think about there, and I hope that you feel the same way. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week based on what Sherry said? Maybe you want to have a potluck and start calling it a pitch-in, or you want to be super cheesy, over-the-top spiritual and call it a pot blessing instead of a potluck. I loved how Sherry said that a lot of times we can find that our purchases are super necessary, but our spouse's purchases aren't. So maybe you struggle well this week by reframing some of the things that either you're buying, or maybe you could just be cutting your man a little slack about some of the things he's buying because they're a big deal to him. I loved her perspective on date night because I feel like a lot of times we're just told we need to go out and that doesn't really work for my family. I really encourage you to have a structured bedtime for your kids when they're at the age where they can do that. So maybe try having date nights after your kids go to bed and do something intentional, not just turn on the TV and zone out. Although sometimes that's exactly what you need to do as well. Maybe this week you struggle well by having a look at your calendar using the VND method. Again, that's values, needs, and dreams. And evaluate everything on your calendar to see if both the time you're spending and the money you're spending line up with the values, needs, and dreams of your family. Maybe you struggle well this week by making a grocery list so that when you go to the store, you can say yes to everything on your list and not just keep saying no to all the things that you wish you could buy but aren't going to buy at this time. Maybe if you have an Aldi in your town, you go to Aldi. It is very quiet. It is not that pretty, but you'll save a bunch of money. Maybe you struggle well this week by realizing that your differences from your husband on how you view money, how you spend money, it actually can be a gift. Some of us operate in the short term. Some of us think more long term about financial decisions. So maybe this week you encourage him and tell him that you appreciate the way he always tells you that you can't buy everything. That will be what I tell my husband. Because honestly, if he didn't, we would be homeless. So while I don't like it, I definitely benefit from it. Maybe this week you struggle well by remembering the truth that Sherry said, that God cares more about you than the financial mistakes that you've made. God is super rich. He has every resource available to him. Are there consequences to our financial mistakes? There totally are. Is there grace and redemption and restoration that can come from that? 100%. So be encouraged. You have not made too big of a mistake. I put the link to Sherry's book in the show notes. It's also on the Amazon page for this show. You can find that Amazon page at amazon.com/shop/strugglewellproject. So just a reminder, if you got something great from this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Hit share and send it along to a friend who needs this message. They will be glad you did. I'm sure you already have, but make sure you're subscribed to this podcast so that you do not miss next week when Rebecca Smith comes back and we do a problem solved regarding identity and a whole bunch of other stuff. Also, don't forget to join me on Instagram and Facebook at Struggle Well Project, especially on Wednesdays when we do Struggle Well Wednesday and we all talk about how we are loving our actual lives by finding out how to struggle well in the midst of the mess. All right, ladies, I'm so thankful for you and I want you to know that you are doing a good job. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, budget feels like a cuss word. There doesn't ever seem to be enough money. And the idea of trying to sort out how to spend money with that man we married is enough to make us want to ride off into the sunset. God, would you give us eyes to see what you're doing in us through the struggle that comes with our money and our marriage? Would you help us to see all the benefits that our husbands bring to the table for those of us who are married? Would you help us to realize that we are on the same team? Lord, would you encourage the hearts of the listeners who have made some really serious financial missteps? Lord, you're not far away. Even when it feels like the resources can't stretch, you can provide in ways that we never saw coming. And so, God, would you do that this week, please, for those people? For those of us who tend to overspend, which is me, I pray that you'd help us to realize our identity does not come in having the newest things or the trendiest. God, would you help us to be content with what we have? Lord, for those of us who tend to be so fixated on not spending money that it ends up being an idol and we end up being a killjoy to every situation, God, would you help us to lighten up and not control money out of fear? Lord, you have something to teach each of us in regards to what how we handle money says about our hearts. And so I thank you that you're kind to us because we sure need it. I pray that you'd help us to walk in more freedom regarding our money and our marriages. In Jesus' name, amen.